Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad to have each and every listener. Listen, last week was a big week in the life of Doc Holliday because I entered the race for the first congressional district in the state of Mississippi. Special election coming up May 12th. Very quick. In fact, it will go incredibly quick. So we're going to give you a campaign update in just a few minutes. Tell you about this week's show. First, we have an exclusive interview done in Alabama's state Supreme Court chambers. And I got to spend some time with Judge Roy Moore, Chief Justice of Alabama's state Supreme Court, and talking about the traditional marriage that what is going on in the state of Alabama. So we've got an exclusive interview we're going to play in just a couple minutes. But first, let me tell you about the show today has to do with young people. I want young people to listen to a college student. Her name is Lauren Cooley. She belongs to the group called Turning Point USA. And you can go to their website, turningpointusa.com. And listen, they have some incredible energy. They have chapters across the country dealing with basically the national debt and their future. They understand that their future is tied to the national debt. So we have a great interview with a college student in South Florida in a very liberal area, but she's going out standing up for conservative principles, capitalism, and she is helping recruit people and students to Turning Point USA. So she'll be coming up. And you'll get to hear from a young person's perspective. And these are voters that we need into the conservative camp. We need people to listen to people like Lauren. And she's going to fill us in on some things that she does in a way to appeal to others in her generation about conservative principles, ideas, and how to get rid of this national debt and get people excited about it. First off, before we get the interview, before I get to the campaign update, I did get to spend about 3 hours with Judge Roy Moore a couple weeks ago. As I said, we sat with him in his office, as me and several others concerned about traditional marriage and how it's protected in states that voted overwhelmingly. I know in my state, we voted way over 85% to keep marriage as between one man and one woman. And then one federal judge knocked out 85% of the voters' decree and placed in a constitutional amendment. We weren't the only state, and that's the state of Mississippi where I live. Alabama did very similar and put in a constitutional amendment, and now one federal judge struck everything down, and Judge Roy Moore has been battling this in a way that no other state has, and he basically, what he is saying is that, yes, the federal courts have supremacy on the case they're doing, but one case does not mean every case across the state has to be bowed down and subjugated to a federal decree, because federal courts can decide a case, but they can't make the law. We'll let Judge Roy Moore explain that in just a minute, but I want you to understand that Judge Roy Moore is taking a stronger position, and some people are comparing him to George Wallace. But guess what? There's a group called the Coalition of African American Pastors, and I've worked with them over the years as far as being a part of their volunteer efforts to reach out into all communities, but especially African-American community, with basic understanding of conservative principles and why they stand on them. But the Coalition of African-American Pastors have given Judge Roy Moore a special award, and they named it after Dr. Martin Luther King's letter to the Birmingham jail. They call it the Letter to the Birmingham Jail Courage Award, because Judge Roy Moore is standing up to overwhelming powers, it looks like, in the, from the federal judiciary, and he is making a case that state law does not have to be trumped by one case in federal court. But I will let Judge Roy Moore tell you, I got to do an exclusive interview with him in the chambers of the Alabama State Supreme Court. So here's Chief Justice Roy Moore, exclusive, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Got Judge Roy Moore here. And why do you think that the state of Alabama can help protect traditional marriage?
Well, we were the first state to take a stand against federal tyranny and federal intrusion into our state sovereignty. And I think 22 states had succumbed to one federal judge's ruling or federal court ruling when they have full power and authority and responsibility to interpret their own constitution as suitable to the United States Constitution themselves. In such a case, any case would be referred to the United States Supreme Court. But instead of doing that, many states have just laid down and face federal tyranny.
Do you think other states can learn what's happening here in Montgomery, Alabama? We're standing here in the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama. And do you think what you're doing here can be used in other states?
Well, I think what we're doing here is an example that state courts have equal responsibility and authority to interpret federal question as do the lower federal courts. That includes the Federal Court of Appeals and the federal district courts, in whose circuit the state court sits. That's basic constitutional law, latest pronouncement of Justice Clarence Thomas in the United States Supreme Court.
Did you say that a federal judge cannot make law, they interpret the law, so how does that affect this case, Judge?
Well, we all hear that, you know, federal law trumps state law, and that's true under the Supremacy Clause. The federal constitution and the constitutional laws of the states are subordinate thereto, but that does not mean that a federal court ruling is law. Federal court ruling is only law as to the case before it. To interpret it as law, that means that you'd bow down to every federal court ruling, and that's certainly improper.
That was Chief Justice Roy Moore. We appreciate him giving us that exclusive interview and his actions to stop what he feels like federal intrusion on what 85% of the citizens of Alabama voted for and put in their state constitution. We'll see how that plays out. Very interesting, and I'm glad you got to hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And it's time for a campaign update, because Doc Holliday has entered a race for the 1st Congressional District special election coming up May 12th. So that is incredibly fast. I am incredibly busy. Been making a lot of campaign appearances, meeting people, going places, calling friends that I've known over the years across North Mississippi. And I have to tell you, I've enjoyed going into DeSoto County. For my listeners, DeSoto County is right below Memphis, Tennessee. It's in the state of Mississippi. It's also one of the largest, fastest growing districts in the state of Mississippi, probably around the entire United States as far as counties go. One of the fastest growing counties. Great people there. Wonderful people who, some of them have roots from generations, and some of them are newcomers that come down from Memphis into smaller cities right there below them in the state of Mississippi and the county right below Memphis, Tennessee. So I do want to tell my friends in DeSoto County, I've enjoyed being there, visiting with you, and making new friends. And I'm excited about this campaign, because I'm excited about places like DeSoto County that are growing and showing other places how to put together economic development and how to make it work for their citizens, their school system, and how to show community spirit. So my hat's off to all my new friends in DeSoto County, and I hope you'll continue listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And the, as far as the campaign update, I kicked it off at the Lee County Courthouse. That's my home county right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The county courthouse, we got in front of the steps and had a good crowd that came out for a kickoff. And some young people stood behind me as I gave my speech. And I really felt enthusiastic. We had great support. And now our campaign website is up. It's DocHollidayForCongress.com. Go there. Find out what we're doing. DocHollidayForCongress.com. And for my listeners, anybody can help donate, we appreciate. Listen, if just my listeners would give $5, $10, it would help go a long way in this quick election. So go there. I ask you to go there, and there's a donate button. You can just use your credit card, go right online. It's a secure website to give donations. And I want to say that I love my listeners right here on Rock Splitting Politics. I would not be doing this show if I did not get the comments and support, and you help me. And together, I've said for the last 5 years doing this show, it's teamwork. It's you and me working together. And there's a little phrase I thought of, and it's basically this. Through all the years, to all my friends, now's the time I need you most. And now is the time I need you most, the listeners of Rock Splitting Politics. I enjoy the feedback. I enjoy the different guests we put on the show. I enjoy the insight. But more than that, I enjoy the teamwork effort we're doing to help change America. Now there's a big effort. I'm trying to take a huge step to get to Washington, D.C. from the 1st District of North Mississippi. So engage in our campaign. Join the team, Doc Holliday's team, to take to Washington, and we will change Washington and shake it up, and you'll be a part of it. Go on, Doc Holliday's, DocHollidayForCongress.com. And listen, Facebook friends, right now we are building up our Facebook page, and you'll see campaign updates, pictures, photos, and we'll give you some insight. But what's very important is we want you to understand that you are a part of this, and right now, as we're building up, very important to go to Facebook and like us, tell your friends and neighbors across the country. It's time to like Doc Holliday's for Congress Facebook page, and we will build up those likes. That'll help empower our campaign, give us enthusiasm. So I appreciate you, my listeners. Please help us out right now, because like I said, to all my friends through all the years, now's the time I need you most. Now, I will give you some campaign updates each week, but I want you to understand that this show is here to help move America forward in the conservative principles. And there's some young people that are working hard, and we've had some on before over the past couple of years. Turning Point USA really work on the issue of the national debt, because they know their future is tied to reducing and stopping this crippling effect of the national debt on our economy and on our lives. So Lauren Cooley is coming up, and just after the break, we'll have her on. I want you to listen to her interview. Sharp, exciting to know there's young people out there working on conservative principles like Lauren Cooley. First, take a listen to this.
And now my life is changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
And that's the Beatles saying they need some help. And we all need help when it comes to the national debt. And that's one reason Doc Holliday is running for Congress. And that's why I need your help. But we also need to help each other in educating the young people and the entire country on the national debt and how it affects our future. And we have Lauren Cooley from Turning Point USA, and she can help us understand this. And I'm hoping the young people across the nation will help enlighten all of us, because we are taking away from the future. As the national debt grows, $18 trillion and growing, the future of our young people diminish. It just diminishes the future. It's like this. If you're going to climb a ladder of financial success, as you climb the ladder, you get higher and higher. But when the national debt goes up, it's like the rungs on the ladder get further and further apart. So climbing up the financial ladder for young people is a lot harder now than it was for me and for others in the past. And what's happening is the higher the national debt grows, the rungs on the ladder get further and further apart. The young people are having to struggle, go from one job to another job to the next job. Climbing that ladder of financial success is getting more and more difficult. And that's why I want you to listen to Lauren Cooley right after I remind you that you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And Lauren Cooley is coming up, and I am running for the first congressional district of Mississippi's congressional seat. Just reminding you and making sure you will not forget to check out our website, docholidayforcongress.com, and our Facebook page, Doc Holliday for Congress on Facebook. Please go check it out. And now, here is Lauren Cooley. We got on the phone with us, Lauren Cooley from Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is a group of young people who recognize their future is intertwined with our national debt and trying to get rid of our national debt. So, Lauren, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Lauren, tell us a little bit. I know you just had CPAC, where conservatives came together and met, and did Turning Point USA, did they make an impact at CPAC?
Yeah, absolutely. So Turning Point USA, what we're trying to model is the tactics of the left, but for the right. And so we're like a moveon.org, but for the right. And we decided to show up at CPAC with over 100 young people and just make a huge presence there, letting other conservatives know about us, basically promoting our organization, showing young people what we're all about. And we're a clipboards and tennis shoes grassroots movement, so recruiting other young people at CPAC to get into the fold, into our network. And I think we had a lot of fun and made a really big show there.
Well, Lauren, one of the things that I noticed from before, we've had people on from Turning Point USA, and I can tell you're excited about it, and it was always growing. So tell me, are you locating on more high school and college campuses now?
Yeah, we are growing every single day, which is very exciting because we have a full-time field program with about 20 field coordinators who go onto campus every single day recruiting students into our network. And so at this point, we're in all 50 states, and we are on over 800 college and high school campuses. And just to give you an idea, I'm in South Florida. I'm in, you know, the Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach area, which has a lot of apathetic students and a lot of students who think they're pretty liberal. And in a 10-week period last semester, I was able to recruit over 1,900 students to join Turning Point USA's network. And so look at that in a 10-week period in a not-so-friendly type of political area, and you see that growth. It shows that Turning Point's really growing every single day.
Well, Lauren, tell me, when you go and activate these students, when you go and these where apathy is ripe, well, how do you break open their ideal? How do you get them to see what's going on and want to get involved with Turning Point USA?
One thing that we do is we talk to students about things they care about. And so a lot of times that's not talking to them about how employers should be able to, you know, keep the fruits of their labor. It's talking more about how young people are being taken advantage of. I'd say young people are also some of the most compassionate people there are. And so we talk to them about things they care about, whether that's the environment or that's keeping greedy people in check or that's helping the poor. And no matter what that issue is that they care about, from an emotional standpoint, we explain to them logically the best way to fix that problem is through capitalism. And we also use pop culture as a way to talk to students and make it more fun. I mean, I think a lot of students are much more likely to talk to you about, the Netflix show House of Cards than to sit down and read a book on political philosophy. So,
Lauren, that's a good point, but tell us what else. From the House of Cards to not going into politics, but tell us, some more examples of how do you relate this to the pop culture and the youth?
Sure. So House of Cards, obviously, is probably one of the very best examples you can use. For your listeners that don't know the show, basically it's a political show with a bunch of scandals, and it shows the power struggle to become the president of the United States. And so, I mean, people are killed and murdered in the show, and it's just disgusting politics. And we say, our government is actually just that corrupt. And so that's a good example that we use. We also did something really unique and creative when the movie The Hunger Games came out. We wrote a booklet called The Healthcare Games and showed the parallel between the movie, which was a big overarching government that oppressed the people. And we used that narrative to compare it to healthcare with Obamacare, showing that if Obamacare was to be fully implemented, there would be health rationing and people would have to actually fight for healthcare. And so we use different things that are popular and relevant at the time to talk to students. We use the show Scandal, that's another one. We also talk to students about things that they use on a daily basis. So whether that's their iPhone or Twitter, Snapchat, they drink Starbucks every day. These are all big corporations that have made a lot of money and would normally be demonized for being successful, but when these students use the product every day, they see the value in it, and we explain that creating something of value, even though they make money, that's a good thing. They're making money and they're serving the community by creating a product. So those are some of the ways that we talk to students, is we use things that are very relevant in their everyday life, whether that is TV shows or the products they use.
Wow, Lauren, that is so good, and it's cool to hear you talk about these things that, that as you tell me, I'm thinking of ways, again, where I can work, and the young people I run into, so many know there's a problem, but trying to relate, what do you do? And I guess that's my next question, Lauren. Once you relate, how do you get them to understand about a national debt, about the way the left-wing political machine is just squeezing out capitalism? In fact, there's so many times where they just make capitalism look like the bad guy. And like you just said, people in Georgia Starbucks, and they got to realize that's making a service that some people like. So how do you get to that next point?
Yeah, like you said, it's not even that they're squeezing out capitalism, but they're demonizing it. They still teach about capitalism, but they teach it in a way that's completely different than what capitalism actually is. And so I think these students, once they know about the values and the benefits of capitalism, they start to realize the bias that their leftist professors are teaching in the classroom. So we'll help students stand up to their professors, whether it's in class or a protest outside of class. We like to, empower students to be able to stand up for what they believe in. And we actually just published a booklet called Indoctrination Prevention, and it's the 10 top lies that we believe liberal professors teach in the classroom and then how to refute them. So that's everything from white privilege to sustainability to demonizing successful people. And so we go through all those 10 different lies and say, this is what you will be taught. This is how you, recognize this type of narrative in the classroom. This is why it's wrong, and here's, the truth. And so that's one thing that we've done. We also have organized protest students and helped them out there.
Lauren, let me stop you right there. When you said organized protest for students, now I have not seen that. I would love to see that, because I think about young people when they're upset about something and they have some time and energy. I love to see them protest. Everybody talks about the protest of the 1960s. How about the protest of today? And so how many of these protests have you done? Is it something that can grow? How can we learn to be a part of protesting these liberal policies?
Sure. So, it depends on what's going on each campus. A good example of this is at Marquette University. A teacher assistant told her students that they couldn't talk about gay rights versus traditional marriage in the classroom. And the student got upset and said, you're stifling my opinion. I should be able to talk in the classroom. You should tell me what I can and cannot talk about. And so the actual professor at the university heard about it and blogged about it. All he said was he thought it was wrong. Students should be able to discuss these issues in the classroom, both sides of it. It wasn't even a moral value as much as it was free speech. And so then what happened was the university, Marquette University, ended up putting the professor who blogged about it and was pro free speech, ended up putting him on probation, and it looks like they may be firing him.
Wow, so just for free speech.
And exactly, and we had students go out and protest on Christmas break, of all things, all time, out in the cold, protesting, basically saying, reinstate this professor, we support free speech. And so that's one protest that we did, which was a really neat thing. We got national coverage, and it was just a great way to show students that if they stand up and speak their minds, their voice will be heard.
Well, Lauren, those are some exciting things to think about, students coming together and protesting against a liberal witch hunt that seems to happen. Do you, as far as campuses, do you see any kind of effect on campuses? Do you see things like a more political action or clubs building up or people coming and be a part of something that will stand up against the left-wing politics on campuses?
Sure. So what we're focused on doing is building a grassroots infrastructure that spans across the country. But part of the infrastructure of that grassroots network is having chapters on college campuses and high school campuses. So once we identify 2 to 3 activists on campus that are pro-free markets, they're, for limited government, then we'll start a chapter, and that will be like a club on campus where these students can then decide what's best to do on their campus. We're all about, a limited government approach, letting these students do what they think is best on their campus. And so we have chapters all across the United States, several in each region. And so that's exciting. It gives them an infrastructure on campus. It allows them to get money from student government, so our tax dollars and their student fees aren't going just towards liberal groups. So they can bring in speakers. They can do their own types of protests.
One of the things you mentioned and is so important, I know that's one of the driving forces behind Turning Point USA, Lauren, is the fact that the national debt. Now, when we first started talking to Charlie Kirk and others, it was like $14 trillion. It's already up to $18.5 trillion that our national debt keeps growing. And how do you approach young people and say, look, our future is tied up into this national debt. It's sort of like radiation that's leaking out and it's killing jobs and everything else, and people don't know it till it's too late. So how do you bring that across, and how do you get people involved to do something about it?
Sure. So I think there's 2 ways. One, especially now with so much chaos going on internationally, it makes sense to frame this not as an economic issue as much as a national security issue. And I think students understand that pretty well. And so you don't have to argue left-wing versus right-wing economics. You're just saying, listen, if you owe our enemies tons of money, that's not a good thing. And I think everyone can understand that. And then secondly, when we talk about the national debt, we don't even call it national debt. We call it national youth theft or generational theft. And so here's the difference. When I talk about debt, that means I borrowed money from you and I'm going to pay you back. When you talk about theft, that means that I walked up to you, I took your money, I stole it, I'm never giving it back. And so when you look at the rate that we're spending money, we are never going to be able to pay this back. And so it goes from being something that's debt, where you're going to pay it back eventually, to theft, where we are never going to see that money again. And I think students, young people, like I said, they're good-hearted people. They are okay with borrowing and lending money. But when it comes to theft, saying you're never going to see this again, this is wrong, young people get a little more fired up about it. So that's how we tackle the national debt issue. We talk about generational theft. It makes it more personal to young people. And then again, making it a national security issue, I think, is a way to catch the attention of young people more than talking about, an economic textbook type of problem.
Well, Lauren, that is a great way to bring that out. It is a national youth theft or national generational theft. And so many people, when they realize their future is being stolen from, that's a great way to wake them up and hopefully wake up the rest of the nation. And it'll take the youth protesting and getting involved to help make things happen. And hopefully we'll see some big movement toward that here in the next couple of years, especially with the presidential election. In the presidential election, I know at CPAC, Ted Cruz was there, Rand Paul. Is there somebody the youth are looking forward to a conservative leader to lead a new generation?
You know, I think it's interesting because young people are interested more in skepticism of government than putting their hope in a candidate.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is because, you know, young people fell for the Barack Obama candidate, the hope and change.
Uh-huh.
They really believed that was going to happen. And quite frankly, a lot of the things President Obama campaigned on sounded good, and he did not fulfill those promises. So they're not necessarily looking towards a specific candidate. They're looking more towards these ideas, which is limited government. We are more focused on less government than they are on putting their hope in a candidate. And we had both Rand Paul and Ted Cruz come speak to these young people. It was so exciting to see them both just pour into and encourage these students, because these are the students on campus every single day, promoting their conservative values and having their leftist professors and administration push back and bash them and punish them for being outspoken. So it was really neat to see those two, both Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, just pour into these young people and encourage them to continue fighting the fight. And I think they both their messages resonated very well with young people.
Well, Lauren, I appreciate you filling us in on what happened at CPAC, what's happening with the youth across the country. It's good and it's inspiring to hear young people understanding that it is a national theft. They're not just borrowing money, they are stealing money from you and your ability to earn when you get a degree and get into the workforce. Is there anything that you would like to tell our audience across the country, how they can get involved with Turning Point USA or find out more about Turning Point USA? What would they need to do?
Sure. So if you are interested in Turning Point USA, whether you have a child or a grandchild you want to get involved, or you're just interested in learning more or maybe even donating, you can go to our website, turningpointusa.net. We also have Facebook and Twitter, but our website is turningpointusa.net. We'd love to have you get involved in our network in any way, shape, or form. We send out free activism materials. We have in-house written publications that are written by young people for young people. However we can partner with you to basically help you reach young people for these free market values, that's something that we are very interested in. One more time, that's turningpointusa.net.
Great, Lauren. And those 10 points you talked about as in a booklet, that's not available. Is that available to buy, or is it available on the website?
Yeah, we have an online version that's available on the website for free. And in fact,
good.
If people order the booklet, we will ship them for free as well. We ask that if you order several copies, that maybe give a donation. We are a nonprofit, but essentially, we want to get this into the hands of as many young people as possible. And this booklet's a great graduation present for high school seniors for them to read over. It's only about 30 pages. It's short, but it'll equip them with what they need to know when they get into the liberal college atmosphere.
That was Lauren Cooley. Great interview. A couple of nuggets that come from that talk and interview with Lauren. It reminds me of, number one, when she said that they stopped calling it national debt, and now they call it generational theft. Great insight. We need to use that. And the other insight, isn't it exciting to know that this is a nationwide organization and young people on college campuses? If you got, or if you're listening, or if you got children on the college campuses or grandchildren, tell them about Turning Point USA. They can get involved in something that can help turn America around. Let's get excited about young people who are excited about principles that will save their future. And appreciate you listening in. Another great show. Next week, I've got an exclusive interview with the African-American conservative C.L. Bryant. My listeners know our first show as we renamed the show Rock Splitting Politics, and my first interviewee was C.L. Bryant. We're going to have an exclusive of him next week. I want you to remember one thing for sure: Washington is sick, and Doc Holliday has the cure.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.